You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life is seasonal and things will change at some point, and just embrace it.
Welcome to the Black Business of Broadway, a podcast brought to you by the Broadway League and Black to Broadway. Here, we highlight the stories, how-tos, and successes of the Black professionals and legends of Broadway. I'm your host, Janine Scott. To say today's guest has performing in her DNA would be an understatement. Please welcome Jenny Harney Fleming, who plays the role of Angelica Schuyler right here on Broadway's Hamilton. Good. Welcome.
Yay! Thank you, Janine. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, in the opening, I referenced your DNA because yes. Your father is Ben Harney, who is the Tony Correct. Award lead actor in a musical for his role as Curtis Taylor in Dream mm-hmm. Girls.
Yep.
So, what was that like growing up, having him as your father? And knowing that you wanted to be a performer.
It was a very layered experience. I think when I was born, my father had left the industry already. I'm the youngest of four. And so he left to pursue ministry. He started off doing like kids videos and things of that nature, but It was an interesting experience because the arts were always around, but never like pushed on us. You know what I mean? We grew up in a very naturally artistic environment at home. There were always like, when I was four, my favorite album to listen to was Gypsy Rose Lee. Like, that's not normal, you know? But it wasn't like, hey, listen to this. Like, isn't this great? I just gravitated towards, you know, that kind of music. And that's kind of just how it was growing up. It was just the nature of our environment at home. And then, of course, you would meet people and people would meet you, and you could tell there was like an expectation, but that energy never really came from our parents. They kind of allowed us to explore and provide opportunities for us to pursue arts if we wanted to, you know, but there was never an expectation or a pressure to do this as our career. I just kind of fell into it, really. I mean, I'd been performing my whole life. I'm not trying to get confusing, but you know, I was in ballet class at four, and I joined the choir at church as a kid. And, you know, you do the things that really are pretty normal for kids, period. It's not necessarily specific to being the daughter of a performer, but he would be, you know, I would be singing in the choir at church, but he'd be over the drama department. You know what I'm saying? So it was both sides. You know what I mean? He was never too far away. The reality or the world of that thing was never too distant. It took me a long time to release myself from a certain level of expectation, knowing that like, okay, if I choose this as a career, that means I'm always going to be compared, or people are always going to look at me with a certain level of expectation before I hit the stage, before I open my mouth, before I read the script, before I do anything. Do I really want to be under that level of scrutiny? But also it's a double-sided situation, because then there's already like provision for you in the same respect. So you kind of got to take the bitter with the sweet. But I wouldn't change it for anything in the world growing up under my parents' tutelage and guidance, because even yes, the performance aspect of it, but they taught me to be a good person.
Yes.
And the importance of humanity and how much when you choose the arts, it's not about self-glorification as much as it is about telling the story of the human experience and connecting with people from all different backgrounds. You know what I mean? To, in church terms, minister or to just impact or connect with people that you normally probably would never speak two words to on the street, you know? So it was that left the most indelible mark on me, and all that other stuff, yeah, it comes with it too. But those were the most important values I learned.
That's great, because so often we've talked to so many guests and it was that they knew, but they didn't necessarily have that supportive, you know, it was like, oh no, I don't know. You know, this is hard. Mm-hmm. And was there any advice, I mean, given to you by either your mom or your dad? Because, you know, your mother is a part of this too, of this equation. Right. Was there any advice that they gave you once you made that decision that, you know, you wanted to get into performing as a career?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was ever, it was always counseling by situation.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There was never overarching, other than like that ministerial mindset that kind of gets ingrained from church and, you know, church productions. Mm-hmm. We did a production of the Wisdom and all those wonderful things that we get from those experiences that are poured into all parties involved. I think it was more counseling and helping me learn how to view myself in the industry, you know, learning, you know, like when you first get an agent and you're so eager to please the agent, learning that the agent works for you, learning like those kinds of mindset shifts that usually take a longer time when you don't have a certain kind of guidance in the industry.
So let's talk about your road to Angelica Schuyler.
Sure.
How did you get there? And what did you do to prepare yourself for that role? Although I know that's not your first Broadway role, because you were Nettie.
That's correct.
In what, 2016?
Mm-hmm. It's my Broadway debut.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's been an interesting road. I my first production contract was with Motown as a swing. It was a Motown First National Tour, where I met many of my closest industry friends and keep running back into these people everywhere I go. But I was a swing. I think I covered six parts in the First National Tour. Everybody except for Diana Ross. I think my hips were a little too wide. But that was a fun experience. I did that for... And then I immediately left... and came back to New York to do a off-Broadway production of a musical called Pearl, based off of the life of Pearl Bailey, which is where I met my husband. And it was a very brief run in, like, I don't know, one of those festivals, one of those like Midtown International Theater Festivals, and one of those wonderful opportunities. I actually knew the writer, and my father directed it, and we had been doing iterations of this production since 2012. And so this 2015, I came back and did that production, and then I kind of went through a season of drought, which everybody goes through, you know. It was, I kind of felt like it hit me out of left field in a way where I didn't feel like I was getting room. You know what I mean? I felt like I was having a hard time just getting called in, or for things like I think I got called in for like Shuffle Along and maybe one other thing at the time, but even Color Purple I would try to get an audition for and they would tell me I wasn't right for it, and I was like, okay, you know,
you're right, yeah
we'll circle back, you know. And so for a good year, I was back to temping, doing temp work. I did wedding bands. I did, you know, the juggle struggle, you know, makeup gigs and things like that. And I think I was working with my dad at Brooklyn Academy of Music in the summer of 2016. And at this time, when they started calling me in, I am close friends with Jason Michael Webb, who was the MD. And I think he pushed for me to come in there. And so I got seen and I went through the different rounds. And now in the back of my mind, I'm like, y'all don't want me. You're just bringing me in here to compare other people and blah, 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 blah. But y'all don't, yeah, this is not real. And after multiple rounds and getting to the final callbacks and working with John Doyle, I had my final callback with one other young lady who I adore. She's like such an amazing person. And it was between her and I, and we got together and we prayed outside of the audition room and put it to bed and said, whoever is for us is for them and something else is for the other person. And I walked in the room and I auditioned and I booked it.
Awesome.
That was a life-changing moment because I felt like up until that point, everything was getting blocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Why can't I get in the room? Why don't these people? Uh-huh. What's happening? Who is it? Where are you? You know what I'm saying? And then you finally learn, oh, these things were being blocked because this was what I was supposed to go to next.
Yes.
And just learning how to go with that flow. And I felt like it was a very similar experience this time around with the Angelica situation, because after that I went, I did the show closed, same week of closing. Actually, today, I want to say, it closed on January 9th. Color Purple closed on January 9th. Either today or it was either the day before or the day after my birthday, I had my first call for Hamilton. And I went in to be seen as a universal Skylar sister, which was something that didn't exist up until that point. Like, they were guinea pigging me for this particular track, which is very similar to a universal swing. But the difference is that it's exclusively principal contract. So no ensemble coverage in that contract, which led to a whole other host of things. But I did that for 2 years with Hamilton. And then we went, and then I got promoted to the Broadway, exclusively Broadway company, because I was always with Broadway as a home base. Mm-hmm. And then I would get shipped out and always return back to Broadway. But then when I took over the Broadway standby contract, that's when I got pregnant with my first baby. I know I'm giving you a whole history, a whole background.
No, it's okay.
And then the pandemic happened. I had my second daughter, and I went back to Hamilton full time after my second daughter was born. And so a couple months after I returned, I had already told them years ago, like, hey, when my girl Mandy decides to make an exit, would you please keep me in consideration? And they did. And so when she let them know that she wasn't going to continue, they came to me and asked me if I wanted to take over. So that was about 6 months before I actually took over. And I took over in September. But it was similar in that when I returned to work and was ready to, like, do the thing, get back into it, it's been a mad years, you know, between the pandemic and birthing children, that I had, you know, like, been pursuing my career, being very career-focused. And I went in for audition after audition after audition, and I just kept bombing. I just kept, I didn't know how to audition in person or even on the computer anymore. I was just, I didn't know where I was. I lost my footing. And then this offer came in and I realized, okay, those things weren't supposed to happen, you know, because this is what was purposed for this next season. So long story short, that's what happened.
But, you know, here's the thing. I know you're like, oh, long story. But there are so many artists like yourself who go through that and who end up and they're like, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And basically what you're telling them and you're telling our audience is to keep going mm-hmm. and to recognize that what's for you is for you. And I love that you and the other young lady prayed mm-hmm. out there and was just like, whoever gets it, like, we're going to be happy for the other person because we know no matter what, because there's something out there for mm-hmm. whoever doesn't.
Yes.
And just being and trusting your gift. Yeah. I think it's a story of trusting your gift and trusting that voice and mm-hmm. And what's for you is for you.
Absolutely.
So I totally appreciate that story. And I think that some of our listeners will hear and see themselves mm-hmm. in that story, and that it's not a guarantee no matter who you are, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you for sharing that. You said that you had a COVID baby, basically, right, during
yes.
quarantine.
Yes.
And that too is perfect timing. Think about it.
It's true. It is so true. We had we weren't planning it at all. And then we got pregnant August 2019. We moved into our new house or apartment, not knowing. We thought we were moving into space. No. No. We outgrew the space before we even got in here. And then we got pregnant again in 2021. And so now I've got a 14-month-old and a 2.5-year-old, which is awesome.
How do you juggle that? You know, being a mom and being a wife, what's work-life balance? Or should I say integration? Because I don't know if there's any real such thing as balance.
Girl, I'm tired. I'm tired all the time. I'm tired when I wake up. It's real. It's real. A very real experience. But I have an amazing husband and a really awesome support system. Great friends. My parents live in New York. We moved to Jersey, but they're just hop, skip, and a jump away to which mom mm-hmm. is down in D.C. So we have a substantial support system. We've got some mm-hmm. wonderful nannies that we've been blessed to find. My sisters aren't too far. I really needed someone. So, you know, that's really the bottom line, is relying on people, asking for help. Oh, I hate asking for help. But here we are. We got to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For the good of the babes. And you know, just really honestly, you just got to count it all joy. You got to count your blessings. You got to just constantly check yourself and keep things in perspective, because there was a time when I prayed for this season. There's people who are currently praying for a season like this, and so no matter how difficult, because it's hard, girl, it's hard. I ain't gonna hold you, boo. This is hard, okay? but it's an amazing season. You just gotta constantly remind yourself to keep it all in perspective and remember that it's really just a short period of time. Like, they're tiny for so short, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I look at my 2.5-year-old and I'm like, you're a different person 6 months ago. Same thing
yeah.
with Olivia. Like, she's counting to 10. Who? What? Stop. You know what I mean? It just goes so fast. And I think that's the biggest part of it, is that you just have to remind yourself how blessed of a situation you have, and that life is seasonal and things will change at some point, and just embrace it.
Yeah, life is seasonal. Mm. I love that. I'm stealing it, just so you know.
Girl, go. Yes.
I'll give you credit for
yes.
it. I'll give you credit for it.
Yes.
But I like that. Life is seasonal. Mm-hmm. And so often we do forget that there is a season. There's a season of sowing. There's a season of reaping. We forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
So looking ahead to the future.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're probably like, what? Look, I just got here with Angelica. Mandy just left. I just got here, right? And now you're talking about looking at the future. Right. And I told you I'm in shock with my 2-year-old counting to 10.
Yes.
But looking in the future, what do you see for yourself? What are you seeing for yourself? What are you wanting to do?
You know,
more
I started
of?
A company over the pandemic that I really want to try to get back to growing, called The Artist Stream, and it's I don't want to give it away yet, you know.
Okay.
Just because it's still in its infancy. But I would like to get that going and up and running so it can become its own form of passive income. I've got some music I want to work on, a lot of recording music and working with friends and putting out different types of music, you know, some theater, some jazz, maybe even some gospel, and just trying to find my own authentic sound in that. And just figuring out what this new trajectory is, because I feel like after the pandemic, everybody's having to shift what or reframe in their mind what their trajectory looks like. Like it can't be the same as it was before for most of us.
Right.
And I think we're all kind of moving in that direction. You know, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have said, you know, originated Broadway show and, you know, do this and do that and all these wonderful career-based trajectories. And while those things do still remain and hold a lot of weight, I think the value system has changed. And I think kind of like what you had mentioned before about creating legacy and something to pass down to your children and longevity in a way. I think, you know, I started doing voiceover over the pandemic. So that's something I want to continue with. And, you know, just realizing that I can work on multiple streams of things and let those things have their own life so that it kind of takes the pressure off of Broadway dreams and the need to chop things off the list or accomplish certain things in a certain time frame. Yes. Yeah. Next Broadway show. Absolutely. Yes. You know, originating a role. Yes. Film and TV. Yes. Commercials. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. All those wonderful trajectory goals. But I think I need to build a broader foundation for the longevity of all, if that makes sense.
Yes, it absolutely does.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So, looking at legacy, There's a question we ask all of our guests, one final question we ask all of our guests, and it is, what advice do you have for the future Black leaders of Broadway?
There's so many things. That's hard.
We'll take them all. We'll take them all.
That is hard. I have a thing now that I'm caught up on. So I'll speak on that because it harkens in my mind every day. And because this is a Black specific audience, not that others won't listen and others can't, you know, absorb and obtain things from this. One thing that has really rested on me a lot is being aware how we speak about each other in general.
Yes.
You know, like speak about our coworkers, our Black coworkers as Black people, even in safe spaces, absolutely. Like sometimes we just need to vent, we need to get it out. She's driving me crazy. He's, you know, doing this on stage, whatever. We have permission to do that, but I think we need to give ourselves boundaries. Especially for me, my boundary is Black women and Black mothers. As much as some people may drive me up the wall, there's a certain limit. I limit what I allow to come out of my mouth about, you know, our counterparts. And especially in mixed company.
Yes.
That's a biggie for me. Like, we in mixed company, I don't know your intentions. I don't know your perspective. I don't know your views. But I sure feel as hell, no matter how much this person may drive me up a wall, I'm not going to come together with you and exchange, you know, upsets and exasperations. So I think, especially for so many of people that I love in the industry and that I've come to know, have grown up in predominantly Caucasian or white spaces. And so they may feel a certain automatic kinship that when they interact with other Black people, may make them feel a little alienated from the Black community. We got to stop doing that, first of all.
Yes.
But as I think the recognition that we can't say everything to everybody, I think that's a big one. That's a big one for me right now. We got to be mindful and supportive and remember that there is trauma and there is a precedent set or an expectation that is set on Black women and Black mothers and Black working mothers.
Yes.
And if we allow ourselves to speak too freely in the wrong set of mixed company, we are reinforcing and setting ourselves back in a certain way in terms of how people come to view us as human, equal, all that jazz. So that's
my
gosh.
Look, I'm going to have to wait till we get off. We get off this recording. I agree wholeheartedly with everything that you said.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this industry, there are far too few of us to begin with, and we have to continue to edify one another in actions, in words, well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on here and chatting with us.
Thank
we
you for
are,
having me. This has
so
been
grateful.
So much fun.
We are grateful. I want to thank our guests and you, our listeners. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to spend your time with me, and I am grateful. Be sure to subscribe at bpn.fm/BBB so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, tell a friend. I'm your host, Janine Scott, and we at the Broadway League hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Business of Broadway.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.